Hey, everybody. Happy Friday. Welcome to the Local Marketing Institute Q&A Live. It's myself, Ben Fisher from Steady Demand. You can reach me on X, Twitter, whatever the hell you want to call it these days, at The Social Dude. And you can, and Greg Gifford, my awesome co-host from Search Lab Digital, at Greg Gifford. And you know what? I think we actually have more than 2,200 members now on the Local Marketing Institute Connect on Facebook. I think it's like up to 26 or something like that. But anyway, you know what? Follow us on Facebook. Greg and I are there. There's a lot of really awesome other people there. And, you know, we're there to share information and learn. So come on and join us on Facebook.
And if you don't get quite enough link spam on LinkedIn and in your email, you can join our chat on Facebook and get even more.
Yes. And we actually get rid of the scammers, by the way. So don't worry about that. And also, if you want Greg and I in your ear every single week, grab the Local Marketing Institute podcast. We're on Apple, Google, Spotify, iHeartRadio. We're all over the place. And anyway, let's get started for the day. By the way, Greg, I gotta show you something. So I was thinking about this morning. So you've seen me wear this hat, like quite often, right?
Oh, yeah.
So this is a Google hat that I got back in, I think, like 5 years ago from a summit.
Okay.
You haven't been to a summit yet, have you?
I have not been to a summit yet.
You're going to love it, dude. All right.
I'm not going this time either.
Yeah, neither am I. I can't get my freaking passport. That's another story.
Really? That sucks, man.
It's so, dude, they lost it.
They're virtually, at least.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, but at the show, you get swag, right? I mean, you can buy the swag through their store, but it's cool to get it in person. So I have the Google black hat. Yep. Well, guess what? This is my Google white hat.
Ooh, I like that. That is clever.
So I was just like looking around my hats and I'm like, oh yeah, I have a Google black hat and I have a Google white hat. That's freaking awesome. Hey, what's up, Trisha? What's up, Steven? How you doing, Wendy? Hi, John. Happy Friday. Yes,
it
I know.
It wasn't Albania. It was, where was it? It was, I forget because we had the song in it and everything. It wasn't Albania though. What was it?
You're talking about Belarus. Yeah. We still don't talk about Belarus.
Yeah. A little bit awkward.
Not until the war is over, then we can be number one in Belarus again. So say Michelle, how you doing, James? Good to see you, buddy. All right, cool. We're going to rock straight into this. We want to make sure there's a little bit of housekeeping before we get started. So this question runs on you. I mean, this question, oh, geez, I'm having a fun Friday. This show runs on you. It is for you. So please use and abuse the question and answer section of this of Zoom. We want your questions. And we will give you the answers the best of our ability. And also, if you have anything that you want Greg or I to help you troubleshoot, like a suspension or verification or whatever, it doesn't matter. Feel free to put that in the Q&A as well, and we'll help troubleshoot you live. Also, if you want us to review your Google Business Profile, we can do that too. Doesn't matter. We're here to help. We're here to have fun. So with that, all right, I guess let's get started on the news. All right. So Greg, this one actually is really something that should be near and dear to your heart, kind of, sort of. LSA has added a bunch of new categories. Most notably, freaking auto repair. Auto repair, transmission repair, auto shops. I think it's going to be interesting to see if that is actually going to be adopted by these guys. Do these guys really know how to do this?
Yeah? I think a lot of dealerships are going to want to jump in the auto repair LSA stuff.
I think so.
I honestly do.
Cool. Right on. Hey, we'll
see what happens, but I think there's definitely opportunity there.
Oh, I can tell you for a fact that from an opportunity standpoint, it's huge, 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 huge. It's like when it launched for dentists, you know, we have quite a few dentist customers. We did it for them. Man, their leads are like freaking cheap.
Yep.
like 2007 AdWords. All right. So the next news item that we have is, it's not really news, but it is kind of. And that is that there is now on a way to, through the Google support flow, to appeal an image or a video rejection. So it used to be, sorry, your SOL. Now it's your SOL, but you can ask us to take a look at it again. So that is
how well that's going to work remains to be seen.
Yeah, exactly. Right. The other thing is, and I'm going to put another near media, or I'm sorry, transparency actually for this one. And that is that Google updated their policies for guidelines for representing your business for GBPs. The reason that they're doing this is because of the European Union. It really is. They have a deadline to meet, and their deadline is basically mandatory that they be transparent in everything they do. What does this mean? This means that they've given a little bit more light and clarity to some of the guidelines, but I can tell you this. I've read through them at least 5 times so far. There's not much that's new. It's just really organized is what it is.
I mean, they did a good job, though, of making it make more sense without really giving you more information.
Correct. Exactly. I mean, and I don't think you have, well, no, you have met him actually, Greg. You know, IH over at Google.
Yeah.
So he's the one who actually wrote all of this. So, you know, he used to be in charge of the suspension department, and now he's working with one of our old community managers, and he's the one who wrote all these guidelines. And that's what he said. He's like, we had to give it more clarity, basically, at the end of the day.
Yeah, well, because 99% of the people out there didn't understand it. So,
well, a lot of them are gray on purpose, really. I like them personally. So I say, hey, read them. All right. What are you asking here, James?
I'm telling him to put it in Q&A. We'll get to it.
Oh, thank you. Okay. All right. Cool. All right. So our next item up is basically bouncing back to local service ads. LSA has gone ahead and added some image guidelines, which is kind of cool if you think about it, right? That's not that often that you get this kind of real good clarity from Google. And so they've gone ahead and they're telling you basically that if you do this, your images are going to be processed faster and they're basically going to have a little bit more impact on your local service ads. So I think that's cool. Again, you know, 2 cheers for freaking transparency, I say. All right, 2 more news items. This one is kind of neat. I know that Miss Amy Toman loves this. And shout out to Amy, but Google has added a new attribute, and that basically says, are dogs allowed here or not? The cool or interesting thing about this is whenever Google rolls out a new attribute, they roll it out for one reason. There is search volume behind it. People are searching for this. And therefore, it's going to surface your local profile more, basically. So I guess there are a lot of dog people out there. Yes. And they're looking for, can my dog be allowed?
You know, I've noticed lately, so I live in Allen, Texas. We're about 40 minutes north of Dallas. And I've noticed lately several restaurants in town have added signs to the front door that say only ADA compliant assistant dogs are allowed on premises.
Really?
So for them to add a sign that says you only get this if it's an ADA service animal, not just you want to bring your dog, there's obviously a lot of people trying to bring their dogs in places.
I guess, yeah. Well, I mean, hey, I mean, it's like Trisha's saying, she loves taking her dog places, you know, pet-friendly hotels, right? So, but are we going to get, like, you know, garage door companies that are going to say they're pet friendly?
Yeah, right.
Just saying, you know. The last thing we have for news is we've got there are some rumblings out there. There's nothing confirmed, but there are rumblings that Google is doing possibly a sweep and removing reviews en masse from merchants. I don't know, man. I mean, we manage a couple thousand profiles. We're not seeing it. What about you?
I do not see this ever happening.
Okay. Like,
it's not like Facebook for years saying, get more visibility, build up your followers, use Facebook, use Facebook. Oh, hey, by the way, now we're taking away your visibility unless you pay. This is the whole rumbling is, oh my gosh, Google's just removing reviews and like there's no reviews anymore. That's asinine. That's never going to happen.
Yeah. And, you know, and I see what you said, James. It's like, you know, you saw one client, right? But out of your entire client book, right? What is one? And that's my point. It's like we have thousands and we do see it, but we don't see it on like a metric basis, right? It's not like 40% of our clients are reporting that they're missing reviews. No, it's definitely not that. And I can tell you this with confidence because our clients use a program that we have. We have the My Business Assurance program, right, which protects Google profiles. And we, as part of this, we can help restore reviews. It's part of our program. So our clients know it's like if they're missing reviews, they just tell us and then we go ahead and try and get them back. So we're just not seeing it. So I don't know. I think it's just people being wired over nothing.
Yep.
All right. I've talked way too much. There's a question for you. All right. This one comes from Michelle. Hi, Michelle. Our question is about verification. We had a client that tried to upload the video. It would only upload to 99%. Email Google, which gave us a live call option. Hey. The client completed the live call last week on Tuesday. GPP is still not showing verifying. We haven't received any emails from Google. Oh, yeah. Fun one.
Yeah. My question to people like this is always, you did this last Tuesday, like Tuesday this week or Tuesday weeks and weeks ago. Give it a couple of days. If you don't hear anything, contact support and ask what's going on for sure. And always don't forget, we need the, like, I keep saying we need the sound effect. Go to the forum, post on the Tuesday last week, not this past Tuesday. Thanks for clarifying that. So for sure, answer us in the chat. Have you talked to or contacted support since then to ask for a status? I love it when they're here and we can, like, get more
details. I know. I so agree with that.
Yes, no response yet. Did they ever respond in the first place or you've just not heard from them whatsoever after you did the live call?
So now you need to do that.
Not heard from them at all. I would go right to the forum and say, hey, here's what's going on. We tried to do the video. It wouldn't work. Google gave us the option to do a live call. We did the live call at this point a week and a half ago. We've contacted support since then. Nothing has happened. Nobody's answering us. What do we do? And one of the product experts will escalate you and
give you help. Make sure you include your case ID. Make sure you include your profile ID. Okay. So that way we can pass that information along and make it more expedient. I do want to say that I think this is actually a pretty common issue, by the way. So, you know, video verification is fully rolled out. It has been for actually quite a while, but people are just starting to notice.
Fully rolled out, not necessarily fully functioning.
Correct. So we have the 99% bug, which Michelle ran into, right? I know I've got lots of clients that run into the 99% bug. And, you know, you do have to reach out to support. They can toggle on the live support, live chat. That is very true. But it doesn't work all the time. And I think that they're either A, very backed up, or B, again, support is not well trained. Because I have seen also a pattern where you'll do the live support option, live video option. And it'll go back into video verification mode.
Yeah.
Again, talk about frustrating, right? And when you have an owner who's like 2 hours away from a location to have to keep going back and back and back forth. Oh, yeah, man. Oh, gosh.
But all still right. Not as bad as requesting a postcard and waiting a month for the postcard to show up.
Or not showing up at all.
Or not show up at all.
Right. Oh, man. Damn it. I missed a piece of news, by the way.
What would that news be? Let's go back. One more bit of news, guys.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I forgot to mention this. This is actually a big one. So, as long as I have been working with Google Business Profiles, everybody asks me, how do I control those social profiles? How can I make sure I'm using the right Facebook, the right Twitter, whatever it is on my Google Business Profile? And, you know, the solution up till now has been, well, do it in your same ass schema and roll the dice, which never works. And so now people are starting to see actually where they can actually add it to their Google Business Profile. It is in the API, by the way. So that means it's real. And some people are seeing it. They're not seeing it actually show up on profiles, but they are seeing that they can at least add them. So my hunch, we're at 20% launch. That's my hunch, which means we have about approximately 1 month until it's at 100%. That's my prediction. What are your thoughts on this, brother?
How many times does Google say something's going to work and it doesn't work? For those of you that don't know, he's laughing because that happens all the time. So, like Tricia said, yeah, I'm waiting to see this in the wild.
Yeah.
It's definitely something that they mean to work. Whether it actually works is another question, or more likely it's just it works and it's in the API, so we know it's legit. It just may be a bit until they actually publicly roll it out to be visible, and we'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And there's a huge difference, by the way, everybody. Greg is 1,000% correct. There's a huge difference between, oh my God, I saw this. It's so cool. This is coming from Google, to it is coming from Google.
Yeah.
Sometimes they roll things out as a test and they roll it out to the 10 and 20% and the trusted testers. And these are the guys that you see kind of like myself and Greg, where, you know, we see things a little bit early and we're kind of like, this is never going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, so I think this one's going to happen, actually.
I think it will. It makes sense that it would. Like,
yeah,
that's pretty important, especially, I mean, it's important for everyone, but especially the really big brands that may have multiple Facebook pages and they couldn't control which Facebook was connected or which Twitter or X or whatever was connected. So it makes sense to give people a little bit more control over this. And it's not like something you can really spam. So why not open it up?
And another thing is I was just thinking, you know, this also probably has to do with the European Union. Again, transparency.
Yeah,
right?
Essentially.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are a lot of changes that are happening over Google right now because of this EU ruling.
Yep.
So maybe this is just another one of those components.
Yeah.
But I'll be interested to see how many people get suspended over it.
Right. They would even say, I mean, because would it really matter if you use it and you put the wrong thing there?
Yes.
Is that really going to cause a suspension if you're just an idiot and you link to the wrong Facebook page?
Abso-freaking-lutely, because if you read through the guidelines about URLs, they say that it must match the consumer's intent in a sense. So in other words, if you are linking to Facebook page for Greg's underwater basket weaving classes, but actually it's Greg's bakery, that's a bad consumer experience and therefore a suspendable offense.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So now back to questions.
Yes, back to questions.
Now we've got one for you, and this one is from Alana.
Okay.
And Alana's subject is incorrect info on GBP.
All right.
And Alana says, hi, guys. Thanks for taking my question. So one of my clients has a GBP for their addiction treatment center. For businesses that accept insurance – There's an option to add those insurances. On the front end, when you look at the insurance that the client accepts, Medicaid is listed. The problem is the client doesn't accept Medicaid. I'm not sure why Google has this on the profile, but my client is pissed. And for good reason, they're getting calls from people who want to get treatment using their Medicaid. I reached out to Google support and they assured me that it would be taken care of. They even sent a follow-up email saying it was taken care of. Unfortunately, we can still see the wrong info on the front end. When it comes to why this info was there, we can only guess. In our Q&A section, some random user took the liberty to respond to a question asking about what insurance they take. He mentioned Medicaid in his answer. I reported the answer for false information and it was removed, but we still see Medicaid listed. Do you guys have any thoughts on what I can do to make sure this information is removed from the GBP?
Good one, actually. Really, really, really good question. Thank you for all the details, by the way. That's an amazing, awesome question. Everybody, that's how we love questions, by the way, just so you know. All right, so answers. Damn right. Answers, answers, answers. Okay, so first of all, where does Google source information from? Google sources information from your website. It also sources it from third parties. And there is a way inside of your Google Business Profile Manager to edit those insurance pieces. I don't recall if in the question she said she did that, though.
They did.
Okay. All right. So you edited it. It didn't happen. All right. So now this is going to be one of two things, third-party source or bug, period. Done. End of story. So what I would do is I would get somebody to go scour citations and any other places that mentions your business name and look for that word Medicare. And if it is there, get rid of it. Secondarily, and I would do this at the same time, is I would go open up a thread on the Google Business Profile community. And again, give us your information, case IDs, profile ID. Screenshots would be wonderful in this case too, so we can show the issue. If you want to do a Loom video, that's fine too. And then one of us product experts can go ahead, we can escalate it over and we can send it to Google for them to basically go really take care of it.
Excellent answer, my friend.
All right. Okay, buddy, this one's for you. This one is coming from none other than James Kant. What's up, James? All right. I've known James for a long time. James is
awesome. Everybody's here today. This is so cool that we have questions and the people are here.
I know. I know. So thank you, everybody. So, just a real quick, big shout out to James. If you don't know James, James is a really cool guy. He's written quite a few articles out there as well. Reach out to him. James, go throw your contact information, man, into the chat. I think everybody should really connect with you. All right. Next is the question is continual work. All right. So once a GBP listing is fully, I love how people still are still calling it GBP. You know, GMB is like gone.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It is, yeah, except for when I get up on stage.
Yeah. I'm going to sit there. I'm going to put something on my phone. So during your, because I'm moderating Ben's session at PubCon in Austin in like a month or whatever. And yeah. So if you ever say GMB, I'm going to sit there and just hold my phone up to the mic and go.
Which means that I have to put GMB into my presentation. Okay. So I need to talk to you about that. All right. So anyway, all right. So is there continual work that an agency can do to strengthen the ranks in Google Maps?
Actually, there's not, because we all know that SEO is a one-time thing that you do once for like 30 minutes and you never have to touch again.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah. So James, you got to realize that most people kind of think that your Google Business Profile is the only thing that matters for showing up in Maps in the Map Pack. And that's not true. It's not just your Google Business Profile. It's your website and it's the links pointed to your website and it's your reviews as well. And to some degree, your citations, although citations don't really take ongoing work. So let's take the theoretical situation that James mentioned where the GBP is fully optimized. You've done everything that you can to make it awesome. And if there's no outstanding issues, is there continual work that you could do? It's not just about, like he said, strengthening visibility in maps in the map pack, because there's always stuff that you can do. You need to monitor Q&A and answer those questions and make sure common questions are uploaded. Not because you're trying to answer every possible thing under the sun, but as people type a question in, if a similar question has been asked and answered before, Google's going to auto supply an answer as they're typing it, which makes a phenomenal experience for that potential customer and makes it more likely they're going to click through. So you always want to pay attention to that. You should always be doing Google posts on a regular basis. That's not going to affect visibility. It doesn't matter for ranking. But again, this is something that you're doing to enhance your visibility, make you stand out from the crowd of competitors, and get more click-throughs to the site. Now, how often you need to do that? People tend to stick to doing a couple a week because it used to be that the standard update or what's new post would only last for 7 days and then disappear. Now it lasts for 6 months. So if you don't have a lot of stuff that changes, you could do one post every 6 months and that's going to be there and be visible. What you don't want to do is do too many. Like I was auditing some car dealership websites in California a few weeks ago, and there was one dealership that did 7 to 10 posts per day. And that's way too many because nobody's going to see all of
Wait,
those.
wait, seven to
So
what? Are
seven to
you
10 posts every single day.
every single day?
So
Well, they
yeah,
must
so
have been
you.
what, uploading cars?
No, they were like showing delivery photos of here's, Ben just bought a truck. Here's a picture with that. Here's the new F-150 is this. Check this out. Oh, don't forget that we do service. Do this. Like it was literally like they had about 30 or 40 different messages they just cycled through every, couple of days. Like it
And
was.
they must have included hashtags.
Well, yeah. Oh, they did. They did. They were treating it like social media, which you shouldn't do. So yeah, definitely you want to do the Q&A thing and the post thing to enhance your, not necessarily enhance visibility as far as you're going to rank better or show up more often. It's about getting you to stand out when you do show up. But then also it's not just assuming that you're optimized and you're done. You need to pay attention to what the competition is doing. You need to pay attention to category changes because if new categories are released, you may need to add those categories if they are relevant to your business. And if you're not paying attention to that, you wouldn't know. You should always be on a fairly regular basis updating the photos attached to your profile. And if you have videos, uploading those as well. Does it really matter for ranking? No, but it does matter for conversions. But as far as strengthening ranking, definitely pay attention to the content on your site, how that content is optimized, and the links pointed to the content on your site, because that will have influence on how you show up in the map pack. That was a very
So,
long-winded answer. Anything to add, my friend?
yeah. I mean, so all I can say is that what Greg just told you is total bull. I mean, every little bit of it makes no sense. It goes against everything we've ever learned in SEO. I mean, it has nothing to do with local SEO, by the way. Greg was actually talking about an entirely different topic. Oh, wait a
I'm
minute.
on the
No,
wrong
I
podcast, sorry.
Actually, I'm sorry, I have dyslexia. So actually, no, what Greg said is actually a master class, really on your GPP. And the only thing I can even add to that closely is going to be basically paying attention to your services. Services can impact ranking. As a matter of fact, I can tell you they do impact ranking, not can. When you add a service to your GPP, you will rank for that term, if it's relevant, within 72 hours. And that's 72 hours, by the way, exactly 72 hours. Same thing. If you remove them, you will lose that ranking in 72 hours. So I would pay attention to that and just make sure it makes sense in the term of provides colon, whatever you're going to say. So if it's a PI lawyer, you don't want to put down service as sexual abuse. Because unless your PI customer provides sexual abuse, if they do sexual abuse, then I guess you can put it on there if you want. So, but otherwise, yeah, no, that was freaking spot on, Greg. That was great. You covered actually literally all the check boxes.
Thanks, man. So now we've got a question for you.
All right.
And this one is from Katrina. Let's see if Katrina's here today. Katrina's here today, too. This is awesome. We're like four for four or five for five at this point. So
Something like
Katrina's
that.
question is, my client's GBP profile currently ranks really well, but it's on the edge of town. They recently leased a new office right in the middle of town. I want to, quote unquote, move their current profile to the new address. How do I safely move their office to the new location quickly without triggering red flags and without jeopardizing reviews or ranking?
All right, hold on. I got to read this one again. All right. It's on the edge of town, okay? Katrina, is it in the same zip code? Aha, yes. Okay. And
can we ask what kind of business it is?
I was about to say, storefront or SAB? Ooh, wrong answer. Okay.
Can we ask what kind of, I'm sorry, I'm jumping in on your answer, but what vertical SAB?
Yikes, even worse.
I mean, at least it's not like locksmiths.
I was literally about to say the same thing. It's not a locksmith or garage door company. Oh, what's up, Max? Okay, so Katrina, this is, all right. Okay. It's a plumber, basically. So, all right. So how can I put this? The best way I can put this is no, don't move. And here's why. It's the same zip code. It's going to rank the same. So why do you need to move is the question. Reason I'm saying no is this. Zip code's different. Okay. Well, that negates half of the question answer. Okay. So the answer is now yes. Do it. However, be prepared. That's no problem. It's okay. So you need to be prepared for a suspension. Okay. You're moving zip codes, which means you're going to have to re-verify. You have no choice. B, plumbing category. Highly susceptible to fraud and spam. So again, another reason to get suspended. And then C, I doubt. There's not a lot you have in the way of citations. So there's not a lot of ways to verify that it's actually a real business and that you've moved. So it's a 50-50 shot that the plumber even has a business license, by the way, too. So there's no data like that available. So prepare for a suspension, I guess is my point. And what you would just basically have to do is, it sounds like you probably know this, but just for everybody else, the process on a move for an SAB is going to be that you're going to go ahead, you're going to click show address, you're going to enter in the new address, save it, then you're going to unshow the address, toggle it off, and then you're going to save it again. This will trigger re-verification at that point, and you're going to have to do the video verification. And that's where things are going to get tricky because you're going to be an agent will be looking at this video. And with SABs, it's usually somebody's home. So make sure that whoever it is owns that home. Don't know that, of course, for a fact, but I don't know, Katrina, if you know. But be prepared for a suspension, I guess is my point.
Well, but they're in an office, though. The question was they leased an office, so the now
are Oh, they leased an office. Okay. All right. Are they going to be showing their address at the office? Katrina. Okay, so it's a legit office with staff. Oh, that's great. So you're going from an SAB to a storefront. Fantastic. Make sure you have your signage. Make sure that's all in line. You're not going to do the last step. You won't hide the address. You will save it. You will have to re-verify. That's going to happen.
But it'll be easier being an actual storefront.
Exactly. Again, high chance of suspension. Whenever you go from a storefront to an SAB or vice versa, you can get suspended. Absolutely. But yeah, this is textbook. This is actually very easy, in my opinion. What do you think, Eric?
No, I mean, I have nothing to add.
Okay.
The only thing I would wonder is, oh, it's already listed as a storefront at their current location.
Ooh, I thought you said SAB.
If it's a plumber, that was my question was going to be, if it is a plumber, why do they have a office slash storefront? Because typically plumbers are a service business, not a location that you go
Yeah,
to.
you can do a showroom.
So if they're moving from office to office, the whole situation is much easier because it's not the whole headache of service area. So it should be fairly straightforward.
Very straightforward. Yeah, it's just a move, period. Yeah, but yeah, I would do that unless you want to keep the one that's out on the outskirts of town and open up a new location.
Unless they don't have that outside location anymore, that would then be bad.
Yeah, of course. That's of course true too. All right, last question we have, and then we're on to live. This one's for you, buddy. This was one from Paul. Paul is asking about the website builder. Is the option for the GPP website builder gone? It seems like I can only add a URL now.
I don't honestly know because I never used it because it was a piece of crap website. Like, why use the free crappy website there when you can set up a WordPress site for like less than $10? So even if it is gone, who cares? You shouldn't use it anyway.
I disagree. So we set them up for our clients. You know why? Because when the website builder was initially launched out, tossed a couple links at it, basically. It ranked for the business's name. We had a lawyer who slammed a $60,000 deal overnight, literally from the Google website, because it's an auto-updating citation. So that's the only reason I like it, is because it's good for brand search. It can cause sales. We have grocery companies that say, yeah, we got them from the Google website. Wow. So, however, there, I don't know if it's a bug or if the whole thing is being deprecated, actually, at this point. Because I have seen a couple circumstances. One, I see where the option is not there to create a new one. I've seen another circumstance where a suspended profile comes back. It unpublishes the website, the Google website, which is new, by the way, because it used to come back right away. So I've seen those circumstances, but I've seen a lot where where you can't actually update it. So what I would say is, like anything else in this world with Google Business Profiles, when in doubt, go to the community and shout.
Yeah, sure. For that.
Right.
And with that, we're done with the pre-submitted questions, and it's time
Yes.
for everyone to come on down for live questions. All right. That
Okay.
was you asking me, which means now
Right.
I ask you. And this one is from our friend Trisha, who saw posts on Twitter where Google removed the ability for some service businesses to add products to their profile. Trisha hasn't seen any of this in the wild yet, but has questions. Will it roll out to all? And if so, if a service business has or adds new products, will they get suspended?
Good question. First of all, it's not Twitter, it's X, formerly Twitter. I do not support this, by the way. All right. So I think what you're seeing, Trisha, is a test. Because we haven't heard anything reverberating since that one view, basically. And I look at it as the general rule of thumb is that if you see a test and then other people go, me too, me too, me too, yeah, it's probably rolling out. But there has not been a bunch of me toos on this one. Now, does it make sense? Absolutely. Yes, it does make sense. Will Google do it? I'm on the fence about whether I'd be excited about it or not. Because if it is true that they're going to start restricting it to products only, that means e-commerce is coming to GPP. That's kind of exciting. Just saying.
I think it makes sense because most people that abuse the product section are trying to put services in, and those services aren't really products. And I can see why they wouldn't want to have what looks like an e-com display just list your services. I don't think they're going to penalize you. I think they're just going to get rid of it altogether unless you have a product feed that would then populate those products.
They may penalize you in one way, though. Let's say it becomes an actual true feature, right? And they do reject. And then you go and to your underwater basket weaving class, yes. GBP, right? Which is already in violation because it's a class. So you go ahead and you do that and you put up products, and that product is your class. Google says, nope, sorry, you cannot put that up as a product post. And you're like, well, screw you, Google. And you put up another one. Same post. They reject it. You put up another one. They reject
then,
it.
Sure, I agree. Then you can get suspended. But my suspicion is that you wouldn't be able to manually add products there anymore like you can now. Like, it would straight up be a some sort of API connection to a shopping feed where you have an automated system that is sending, feeding your products in, kind of like how, you know, car dealers send their inventory out to Auto Trader and cars.com or whatever with just an automated feed. I think that's probably going to be the easier way to do it, especially if, like you said, they're looking at bringing e-commerce to GBP. What about people that have thousands of products? Are they really expected to sit down and add them all in manually? No,
of course not.
Some sort of API connection for that.
Yeah. I mean, and that's why they have like Pointy right now.
Yeah.
Right. Which nobody ever talks about, but they've got that. So who knows? I mean, it'll be interesting. That's for darn sure. And by the way, yes, Michelle, SEO for good. That's going to be a fun one, man. What's your topic?
I don't know. I think I'm doing local link building, but I'm not 100. I'm 95% sure that that's what my topic is.
All right. Okay.
But I'm actually not entirely positive. Okay.
Michelle said yes, it is.
Michelle is saying yes, it is. So then, yes, I am doing local link building.
Michelle knows you better than you, Greg.
Yeah. So I've already done 15 conferences this year, and counting that, although it's not really a conference, but I still have to present, that would be 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. That'll put me at 25 conferences for the year.
Yeah, so basically Greg is saying that he's a slacker, which is okay. That's all right.
I will do my slides the day before the event, probably.
I'm going to be talking with, it'll be me and Crystal Tang and another fellow PE who works for Uberall. We're going to be talking about generative search and its impact on local SEO. Sneak peek, not much. All right. So let's see. All right. So next question then for you, my friend, is coming from Elena Seamer. I hope I pronounced that properly. So when I log into GBP these days, I don't see anything on the right side of the screen. So no map, no GBP posts, no Q&A. Is this happening to me for a certain reason, or is this a problem with GBP? Is there anything I can do to fix this?
I would need to see a screen capture or a video of that. I have not experienced anything like that with the clients we work with. Have you?
So sometimes it's a stub, which means it's just like a little thingy on the side. It's like literally a little horizontal bar, and it just says the name of the business with the number of reviews. It's hard to see. Yeah, Trisha, I think that's what she's saying. So, Elena, here's how you test this theory, okay, or test it to make sure it's working, I guess I could say. And that is put in the name of your business and the zip code of your verification. And try that real quick, actually, if you can right now, and see if it pulls your knowledge panel. Yeah, Saeed, you can ask in the Q&A here right now if you want to. But otherwise, the advanced form is the best way to do it. Do 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 do. Elena, can you hear us? All right. Well, I can see you're there, Elena. If you want to answer the question, that'd be awesome. If not, we're going to move on here in a couple seconds. Try a search with your zip code and the business name and see if it shows. All right. So, necessary. Yeah, we're not going to keep on going. Okay. All right, we're done. All right, so let's see. Moving on to the next one. Trisha has a status update that I did, and I guess I'm going to have to go take a look at what it is. Let's see. This page doesn't exist. Okay, so.
Great question, Trisha.
That was a fantastic question, Trisha. We really appreciate you. You know this.
That was from our other question on products, but.
Oh, wait. Oh, there goes Elena. Hold on. Trisha, if you want to rephrase your question, you can do that. All right. So, sorry, it took me a second, but I can see the knowledge panel on the front end, but not the back end.
So maybe when she's clicking on icons to edit information, that's what she's talking about?
I'm not really sure. There is no back end view. There is business.google.com/locations, which will give you a list of your GBPs. And if you click on it, you can click out to go see your knowledge panel. Or if you click on the listing, it'll go to your knowledge panel. But that's about it. So it sounds like everything's functioning as properly. If not, like we said, go to the community. When in doubt, head to the community. Yep. All right. Unless you want to throw a screenshot to chat. Okay. Oh. Let's see what we got here, Trisha. All right. Yes. That post, that's correct. That's the product post, not visible. Yes. All right. So here we go. So Stephen has a question. All right. This one's, I think, for you, my friend. I just uploaded some videos to my GBP and they were not approved. Where do you challenge that?
First, I would ask, do you know for sure that they are shorter than 30 seconds and under 75 megabytes in size? If you know that for sure and they were not approved, you can talk to support and ask why they weren't approved. You may or may not get an answer. You may have to go to the forum.
But you don't
have to go to the forum anymore?
No, this is as of this week. It's really, really new.
30 seconds and only 2 or 7 megabytes.
Yeah, this is really new. You can go to the support for the support to get help. Contact support. Just type in video and it'll say, you know, image or video not approved appeal, basically, is what it's called. And then you can appeal it.
Well, then there we go.
Yeah. So trust me, man, I have no idea how I think about keeping up with this stuff.
Well, and I've kind of been gone for the last like 2 months, basically, too. So
exactly. Right.
All right. So now we have a question for you from our buddy Mark Barris, who says, question, with Apple Maps growing in popularity, should we suggest to clients that we should dedicate additional time to Apple Business Connect? Also, is Bing for Business returning good results?
So my answer to you is going to be not based on data. Well, it is kind of based on data. There's a lot of Apple devices out there. A lot of people use Apple Maps. So yes. Also with Apple Maps, you can go ahead and you can make posts. Okay. And you can also connect your Apple Business Connect, ABC or whatever the freak it's called these days. You can connect it into all sorts of aspects inside of the Apple ecosystem. So is it worth it? Yep. Do I know a lot about it? Nope. Should I? Yep. Should you? Yep. It's worth it. Bing, man, I don't know, man. Bing sucks. Yeah, they've got the whole AI thing, chat and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, I mean, I think it was recently, I forget who put this out. It was also this week, but it was a study based on market share. And even with the launch of the AI chat, Bing has not taken any market share from Google. At first, I thought, I'm like, oh man, Bing's going to like kill it here. Now I'm not so sure. And you know, managing, last thing, brother, managing your business on Bing is a son of a, it, yeah, it's horrible. So I don't like the experience. So therefore, I'm going to give it a big no. What do you think?
But do you know why it didn't take market share?
It's Bing.
Well, that's part of it. But the other part is,
it's also quality.
SEOs and marketers cared about Bing adding ChatGPT to the experience. The general public doesn't give a squat. Nobody cares. Exactly.
Right.
It's not like they're going to go, oh, it's got an AI chat. Let me go use Bing instead of Google that I've been using for 15 years. No, they don't care. Like, no big deal. That so many people, like I was at MozCon last week and all these talks are about AI and the things you can do it with. Who freaking cares? The general public does not care.
Correct.
It's the exactly. next big flashy object that we can talk about and make it sound like, hey, you want to go to PubCon and do a talk? Just mention AI and you're going to get picked to speak at PubCon because everybody wants to hear about the buzzy AI crap that you can do. But does the general public care? No. Does it most of the time, does it even work the way that you think it works? No. So, but the thing that I would say differently, though, is, Mark, it depends where your clients are. If your clients are in the South, don't worry about Bing. If your clients are in the Northwest, you should worry about Bing because there's a much bigger user base in the Northwest than there is in the rest of the country. And we do have clients up there that do get significant business off of Bing. So if you're in an area where, because you're in, you know, that Seattle to Portland corridor where there's a ton of people that will use Bing, you probably want to pay attention to it. Other than that, yeah, probably doesn't matter.
Yeah, the other thing about Bing is this. You're totally welcome, Mark. Good question, man. The other thing is this, is that, again, I'm going to, why I give my thumbs down for Bing too, is, do you know how easy it is to spam Bing? Let me tell you exactly how easy it is, because I played around with it really quickly for one of my clients. When you first log into Bing and you don't have any profiles, it asks you to connect your Google account. I connected a Google account that had 400 listings in it. I only wanted to connect one. You know what it did? It pulled in all 400 without my authorization, and I couldn't remove them, by the way. Okay, so that's problem one. Problem two, go, I dare you to search garage door repair. I dare you. You think it was bad on Google a year ago? Go check out Bing. It's a freaking mess. It's a show is what it is. It's so easy to put spam up on Bing. It's not funny. And the spammers know this. And there is almost no way to get rid of that spam. The department over at Bing is three people for the local department. Spam is out of control. Anyway, that's a long way of saying the quality sucks. So why even play with it? Anyway, that's my 2 cents on that. All right. Is this your question or my question? Which one was it?
My question, because that one was for you.
All right. Yeah, that was really a long way of answering that question, wasn't it?
A lot of long-winded answers today.
I know. All right. See, this is what happens when you don't, when you're not here for a little while, Greg.
It's all my fault.
Yeah, it is. All right. So Vanessa Duffy has a question for you then. Google Business page is not accessible as there is a change in business ownership. How do you correct this?
I'm guessing that Vanessa is saying that there is a new owner for the GBP that doesn't have access, and Vanessa needs to get access for the new owner. It's pretty easy. You just go to google.com/business, enter the business information, ask for ownership. When you request ownership, it's going to send a message to the current owner that can then respond and say, yes, this person is the new owner, or no, they're not. If they say yes, then you get access. If they don't respond for 3 days, they are typically going to give you access as long as you can prove you're the new owner. If they say no, you can still go back to support and say, hey, look, I'm the real owner and provide proof that you're the owner. And then you'll get access and then you can do anything you need to do.
Yeah, and if you were to mean, if you meant something else, then you might want to expand on that, Vanessa. Just saying. Okay, cool. All
And we have
right.
time for at least another question or two. So this one comes to you, but it looks like the same question we already answered. So James submitted a question and asked it live. So James, you get the buzzer. And we're going to skip your question because I'm pretty sure that's the same question.
It is the
He's
same question.
laughing, so it must
It
be the same
is. It
question.
is. Yeah, it is.
So now we'll ask you the question from Lindsay.
All right.
And Lindsay says, I may have missed this as I joined a few minutes late, but apparently you can now add social links to a GBP. Any idea of what regions or categories this is rolled out for? It's not there for any of the clients that we've checked.
Yeah, we did talk about this a little bit, Lindsay, just so you know. And the quick and succinct answer to this is it's probably a test right now, or it is a feature that's coming out, but it's probably rolled out to maybe 20% of the world, which means you're not going to see anything. I'm a trusted tester. I don't have access to it. So I can tell you that it is maybe at the 10% range, maybe at the 20. Trusted testers usually get in anywhere between 1 and 30. So anyway, I wouldn't expect it to see it for right now. I would expect to see it probably by the end of September, is my guess. All right, dude, anonymous attendee showed up.
Anonymous is back.
Yes. All right. Hi there, guys. We still don't know if it's a man or a woman. Okay. Anyway, we have a client asking how to improve his location pins on maps. Because he has to zoom in a lot before finding his business. Plus, we can only find information about how to rank higher. Is there a way to do that? Maybe improving the quality of GBP.
Tough because Anonymous isn't going to be able to give us clarification because then it shows who they are. How to improve his location on maps because he has to zoom in a lot before finding his
It's the
business.
location pin.
But I'm not sure what improve the location pin means. Maybe it's, I would guess you're doing a search, they're not showing up, then you zoom in and they show up, which means it's just an optimization issue and you're not showing up at a wider range because there are better answers to the question than you. So when you zoom in, you're tightening the radius of visibility, and now those better optimized profiles aren't showing up. And now you show up? Maybe? I'm not quite sure.
There's another thing, though.
I'm not 100%
No,
understanding the question.
you got it right, actually. You 100% got it right, Greg. There's one last piece that can also be here, and that is filtering. Okay.
Yes.
So basically, and I'll just real quick, real life story. This just happened yesterday. I got a phone call from one of my PI clients, personal injury. And he's like, yeah, he's like the spammer in our area, LA. Basically, has gone ahead and opened up an office next to us, and we're no longer ranking. And
Cool.
this is because, yeah, this guy's a real SOB. He does this stuff on purpose, by the way. It's not like it's, yeah, he's anyway.
Do I know this guy?
You know about him. We
Yeah.
talk about him very often in our
It's that
circles.
guy in LA.
Yes. Yeah,
Okay.
exactly. Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, so he did that and knocked my client out of search completely. Because guess what? They're 200 feet from each other. So when this is the rule is basically this: if you have two businesses of the same category within 200 feet of each other, one wins. One. And there is no rhyme or reason as to who or why. And so Actually, John, that probably wouldn't work. That's the problem, is because now you're moving the pin into a place where it's not supposed to be, which is a violation. Unfortunately for my client, it's actually, well, he's got to move because the building he's in is very, very tiny. So, yeah, that guy was actually very, very smart about how he did it.
Office next door, a legitimate office?
Yeah.
So yeah. He's just spending the money to go set up offices to take out competitors?
Yep.
That's so nefarious.
Yep. And he's probably not even there.
Can you not prove that, though, and get him taken down?
It's so difficult to prove.
Yeah.
You have to hire a private investigator. You have to go have them go to location 3 times a day, different times, for 3 weeks. And to be able to prove that in a very simple way that Google will understand, to show that there's nobody there ever. And it's very, very difficult, and it only works 50% of the time. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know, Max. Maybe. But anyway, so that's the other thing. Yeah, we have 1, 2, 3 questions. So shall we continue?
Max's question. Max wants to know where he can see the replays of the streams. You can go to localmarketinginstitute.com and find the list there, or you can go to any of the podcast platforms and find past episodes there as well.
Yeah, we have a wonderful gentleman named Peter Wagner who does all of our post-production for us, actually. And so he makes a blog post. He uploads it to all of our locations for listening to it and downloading it on podcasts. And he also throws it up on YouTube, too. So it's, it's kind of like all over the place. All right. So let's see. I don't know. We've got two more left. You want to go? You want to answer the question? See if everybody else wants to do it.
Let's do Paul's question real quick, because it's a good question. Lindsay's other question is actually just saying she was here.
Oh, okay.
Put it in chat. So,
all right.
Paul says, what additional signals would you optimize for, and where, for the situation where the searcher is using a geo-specific search that triggers local results, but none of the usual proximity signals apply? Specific example would be a tourism business where the traveler is searching from home before getting to the local destination, such as best hiking tour guides in Nowheresville or art galleries in tourist town.
So first of all, I want to know where Nowheresville is, because I would like to go visit there. And I want to know where touristy town is, too, because they both sound like awesome, awesome locations. All right. So let's see. What additional signals? When the search is using but not the usual. Okay, right. Why wouldn't the usual proximity signals apply?
Because you're not searching from that location.
However, when you're searching with a geo-specific term, the intent turns it on its head.
But you don't. I think what he's asking about is, it's pretty commonly known that the proximity of the search result to the point of search has influence on map pack visibility. Yeah. And he's asking what you would optimize for when that proximity isn't a factor. But it's not like that gets replaced with something else. It just becomes a non-factor.
Right. Proximity just goes away because there is no proximity, right? Yeah. Now it's all about intent. And so that's why I'm saying, well, it's more of an intent thing. And that's why when you're saying tour guides in Nowheresville or art galleries in touristy town, right? It's all about intent at this point. So, just geo-specific is not going to do anything for you. Now, what can you do to increase your visibility? Again, we talked about services before. You definitely want to do that. Also, your website. Your website should absolutely have service areas listed and information about those areas. Get very geo-specific there.
This is actually something we like to do with the clients that we work with, is do searches like this from outside of that immediate area, because it lets you see what that kind of map pack visibility looks like without the proximity factor changing the order of search results. So it's not a bad thing. You just proximity becomes a non-factor. You don't have to worry about it.
Exactly. All right. Well, cool. Excellent. So if you want to go ahead and entertain everybody for a second here, I will do my wrap up.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Especially with my first episode back in like 6 months or whatever it's been. It seems like forever, but it's nice to be back. Definitely please come back to the website, submit questions ahead of time. We usually need to have a good, I don't know, 5 to 8 questions submitted beforehand to get through the first half of the show. So we do depend on all of you faithful listeners to submit those questions for us. And then we switch over to the live stuff. So obviously you need to be here to listen, and it also helps. It's cool, like days like today, where everyone that submitted questions was actually here to hear their answers, and you don't have to listen to it on a replay.
Absolutely.
So.
You know what I did for that though, Greg, is I went into our chat and I just put in, hey, if you've got questions, ask. And then we got like four. So that was like awesome. All right. How cool. That puts another episode of Local Marketing Institute on the books. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for coming. Thanks for engaging. Thanks for asking questions. Thank you for educating. Thank you for being awesome just in general. And thank you, Greg. Welcome back, my friend.
It is pretty excellent to be back. Oh, it didn't work.
Ah, there we go. All right, good. Yes. So have a wonderful weekend, everybody. And again, if you have questions, please do submit them. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great
Hey,
one.
everybody.
Thanks. Bye all.